don't want to take that off, do I?
No.
That's his Bible.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Isn't this fun? I am genuinely excited about the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have to confess, I'm not very excited about the world celebration of Christmas. That makes me old-fashioned, doesn't it? We'll be studying in John's Gospel, chapter 4. John's Gospel, chapter 4. We'll be reading some select verses in this chapter. John 4, verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and went away again into Galilee. And it was necessary for him to go through Samaria. Then he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus upon the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How do you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, who am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that says to you, 'Give me to drink,' you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no vessel, and the well is deep. From where then do you have that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, drank of it himself, and his children, and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of the water, of this water, shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and he whom you now have is not your husband, and that you spoke truly. We'll jump down to verse 28. The woman left her water pot, went into the city and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" And they went out of the city and came to him. Verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him because of the saying of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." Then as the Samaritans had come to him, they begged him that he would stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. This is a beautiful gospel passage of Scripture. I do not intend to primarily speak on the gospel. The theme of my subject is personal evangelism, witnessing. That's what we see in this passage of Scripture. The master fisher of men. That's the Lord Jesus. And we want to talk about personal evangelism or witnessing. The Lord Jesus used line fishing. I think they call it angle fishing. With a line and a hook, one fish at a time. That's the way the Lord Jesus fished that day. He caught one fish, but a big one, a good one. Net fishing, the woman of Samaria, the new convert in the chapter, is the one that practiced net fishing. She brought back the whole city to meet the Savior. That's good fishing too, isn't it? What would you say is the best method of fishing, of witnessing? I would sum it up this way. The best method of witnessing is the one that works and is biblical. I think if you follow that principle, you're going to be on good grounds. The best method of witnessing is the one that works, and if it is biblical. But you will notice that each case is different. No two are the same. In this chapter, John chapter 4, the woman of Samaria, the Lord Jesus dealt differently with her than with the others that he witnessed to. Same message, the same gospel, but a different method. How about Nicodemus? He was a religious Pharisee. And you remember the method that the Lord Jesus used with Nicodemus? You must be born again. Nicodemus, with all of your religion, with all of your good works, you can't get to heaven that way. You've got to be born again. And you remember Zacchaeus, the tax gatherer, the little short fellow that climbed up into the tree. And the Lord Jesus came, and you know what he said to him? Come down. Zacchaeus, you're too high. If you're going to meet the Savior, you're going to have to come down. I'm only pointing this out because the Lord Jesus used a different method each time he witnessed to people. I know you can get witness helps in the bookstore. There is one very popular one that has been used a lot through the years. And I'm thankful for every soul that is saved through the use of these helps. Four spiritual laws. Have you ever heard of it? Four spiritual laws. It was put out by Campus Crusade many years ago. I've tried to use it and it doesn't work. It doesn't work for me. Because I find that each person that I witness to is different and it doesn't work. The four spiritual laws. Page one. Do you believe that everybody is a sinner? If the answer is yes, turn to page two. Do you believe that the Lord Jesus died for sinners? If the answer is yes, turn to page three. Do you want to be saved? If the answer is yes, turn to page four and quote this prayer, and then you're saved. It doesn't work for me. It doesn't work. Because each individual is different. And the Lord Jesus, when he witnessed to different people, he used a different method. Let me point out that not all Christians have the gift of evangelist. That's a unique gift. Only certain people have that gift. I certainly can't say that I have the gift. All I can say is I love to preach the gospel, but that doesn't give me the gift of evangelist. Not every Christian has the gift of evangelism, but listen to this. Every Christian has a responsibility to witness. Do you believe that? Every Christian has a responsibility to witness. You know what the testimony of the early church is in the book of Acts? We are his witnesses. That's a good testimony, isn't it? And you study the book of Acts and you will find that that's what those Christians in the early church did. They went everywhere speaking about their Savior. Lessons from the Master Fisher of Men. That's what we want to focus on today. Our first point. He applied the basic rules for witnessing. There are some basic rules to follow. You won't find them in the bookstore, you'll find them in the Bible. And there are some basic rules to follow if you're going to be a witness for the Lord Jesus. And these are the basic rules that the Lord Jesus followed. Number one, I have 10 of them in my notes. Number one, spiritually in tune. You've got to be spiritually in tune if you're going to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Was the Lord Jesus in spiritually in tune? He certainly was. Read the gospel records. All the times you find the Lord Jesus in prayer, a quiet time, he went off by himself where he could pray and commune with his Father. The Lord Jesus was spiritually in tune. He qualified to be a witness. Number two, he went where the fish were biting. That makes sense, doesn't it? If you've been fishing all day in one spot and the fish haven't been biting, it may be a good idea to move. That makes sense, doesn't it? The Lord Jesus had been fishing in Galilee and the fish weren't biting. And what did he do? He went to Samaria. That's where the fish were biting. Number three, another basic rule, impartial. He was not ashamed of this outcast woman, a non-Jew, a Samaritan that the Jews had nothing to do with. He was not ashamed of her. Impartial. What a difference between the Lord Jesus and Jonah. You remember the story of Jonah? When God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, not to preach the gospel. God didn't ask Jonah to preach the gospel to Nineveh. God asked Jonah to go to Nineveh and warn them of judgment. That was the message that Jonah was supposed to deliver, and he rebelled. He went in the opposite direction. It was not impartial. Number four, a good listener. That's sometimes hard for me, to be a good listener. He didn't monopolize the conversation. That's an important basic rule for a witness. Don't monopolize the conversation. I tell you why it's a good idea to listen. You'll find out what they believe and what they don't believe. And that's important if you're going to be a witness. Number five, he met her on her own terms. Verses 20 to 24. Worship. She seemed to be interested in the subject of worship. She says, we worship in the mountain, us Samaritans. We worship here in the mountain. And you Jews, you say that in Jerusalem, in the temple, is the place to worship. She brought up the subject of worship and the Lord Jesus met her on the subject. Number six, friendly. Friendly. You can't win the unsaved if you're not friendly. You know how he showed his friendship to her? He asked her for a favor, something that no other Jew would ever have done. I'm thirsty. You've got a bucket and a pot of water. Would you give me a drink of water? The barriers were removed when he asked for a drink of water, weren't they? You need unsaved friends if you're going to witness. How can you witness if you don't have unsaved friends? Now, you can't allow your unsaved friends to carry you into the world, their entertainment, and all of the stuff that they have to offer. You have to be careful about that. But you have to have unsaved friends if you're going to win them to the Lord. Number 7. He respectfully and tactfully exposed her sin. You know, we're living in a day when you're not supposed to talk about sin. The preacher is not supposed to talk about sin. It's not supposed to talk about repentance. Just talk about grace, love, heaven, and the beauty of heaven. The Lord Jesus very respectfully and tactfully exposed her sin. What did he say? Call your husband. Wow. That must have hit her below the belt. My husband? I don't have a husband. And the Lord Jesus says, you're right. You don't have a husband. The man that you're living with now is not your husband. You've had 5 husbands. What was he doing? He was exposing her sin. And the sinner needs to know that he is guilty. The sinner needs to know that he is lost and on his way to a lost eternity. Number 8, he employed a basic rule in teaching. If you've studied the subject of pedagogy, you know one of the basic rules of teaching is you move from a known to an unknown. That's a basic rule in teaching. You find out something that they know, and then you move on to the unknown. In her case, she knew all about water, didn't she? She came there every day to gather water. And he moved from the known H2O, which she was well acquainted with, to living water where you'll never thirst again. Number 9, he convinced her of the emptiness of religion. She was a religious person, worshipped in the mountains. And he proved to her the emptiness of religion, ancestral religion. She was bound up with ancestral religion. Well, my parents believed that. My grandparents believed that. My great-grandparents believed that. And you know what a wonderful woman my grandmother was. She had to be right. Wrong. Ancestral religion and ancestral tradition is not reliable. In fact, it can be very dangerous. Beloved, there are multitudes of people in Christendom today who are bound up with ancestral religion. Why do you believe what you believe? You ask them that question. Well, my parents believed it, and they taught me. And I even went to a religious school, and they taught me. And the Lord Jesus points out to this dear woman, it's not religion, it's relationship. That makes the difference between the religions of the world and true Christianity. True Christianity is a relationship with a person. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, in verse 26, the Lord Jesus said, I am He. I'm the person. I'm the one that you need as Savior. In other words, it's not a place. It's a person. It's not a place in the mountain or in Jerusalem. It's the Savior. Not ritual, but in spirit and in truth. If it is in spirit and in truth, it's not going to be a lot of ritual. In other words, he pointed her to himself. Verse 26, I am He. I am the Savior that you need. The first point, he applied the basic rules for witnessing. Our second point, he was compelled by an unseen force. What was it that compelled the Lord Jesus to go here to Samaria? The Lord Jesus was always compelled by his Father's will. Not my will, but thine be done. That was the unseen force that compelled the Lord Jesus. And may I add to that? Love. Love was a compelling force in the life of the Lord Jesus. He proved to that woman that day that he loved her. Love is like a magnet. And the Lord Jesus had that type of love. Sinners were attracted to the Lord Jesus. Remember one time the Lord Jesus said, when I am lifted up, that is, on the cross, I'm going to draw all men unto me. What did he mean? Love was going to attract the sinners to the Savior who was hanging on that cross. Now the religious hypocrites, they were repentant. repelled from the Lord Jesus, but it was the sinners that were attracted to the Lord Jesus. Like this woman of Samaria, she was attracted to the Lord Jesus. Our third point, he was committed to an urgent mission. I'd like you to notice verse 4. It says that he must needs go through Samaria. It was necessary for him to go through Samaria. Geographically, it was not a must. He could have taken the other routes that all of the other Jews would have taken to avoid Samaria. But he must go through Samaria. Why? Why did he have to go through Samaria? There was a dear woman, sinner, that needed a drink of living water. That's why he went through Samaria. What did he see in this woman? An immoral person? That's what the disciples saw. They saw an outcast. We can't have anything to do with her. They saw her as a picnic basher. They brought the food back from the city and they wanted to have a picnic, and now this woman was in the way. They saw her as a picnic basher. The Lord Jesus saw her as a precious soul that needed a drink of living water. The Lord Jesus was never deterred by inconvenience or danger. It was a dangerous place, humanly speaking, to be where he was. But that didn't deter him. He went there anyway. Think of this. The Lord Jesus is the great eternal I Am, the sovereign of the universe. He stooped from the throne in glory to save this one sinner. I can't understand that. That's a mystery beyond my comprehension, but that's the testimony of my Savior. Now the Lord Jesus ministered to the multitudes on a number of occasions. He fed 5,000 hungry people in the desert. He ministered to their needs. But can you think of a single person out of that multitude that got saved? I don't know of any. You know how that multitude responded to the good news of the Lord Jesus? Crucify him. Away with him. We will not have this man to reign over us. The Lord Jesus' favorite method of witnessing was one-on-one, wasn't it? In all of the cases, one-on-one, Someone got saved. Nicodemus got saved. Zacchaeus got saved. This woman in John chapter 4, she got saved. Number 4, and our time is almost gone. The results of this occasion. A thirsty soul drank of living water. That's the result. A notorious sinner became a zealous soul winner. That's not bad, is it? A notorious sinner became a zealous soul winner. It says in verse 28 that she left her water pot. I like that. She came to that well to draw water. That was why she was there. And it says that she left her water pot. She dropped her water pot. Forgot all about H2O. You know why? She had the well of living water. She drank of the living water. Something about this dear woman. She didn't wait until she was a theologian to become a witness, did she? A newborn babe in Christ, just newly saved. She just drank of the living water, and she was so thrilled and so excited about her new life in Christ. What did she do? She went back to the city and told everybody that would stand still long enough to listen about her Savior. I like that. Her message was very simple, wasn't it? Come see a man. That's all the theology she had under her belt, and that's all the theology she needed. Come see a man. And who's the man? The Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing about this dear woman, her mission field was home first. She went to her relatives and her friends and her neighbors and told them about the Savior. What were her credentials? Changed life. New life in Christ. Is this the same woman? We knew her as an immoral person, and now she is sharing the gospel? That's what the gospel does. Then notice in verse 40, when she brought the people to the Savior, what a beautiful occasion. She brought the people to the Savior, and the people invited him to stay. And he stayed. Do you know of any occasion in the Word of God where the Lord Jesus got an invitation from anyone and he turned it down? I can't think of any. He didn't turn this invitation down. He stayed for 2 days and witnessed to the people. The result of this occasion, The disciples got some important OJT. You know what OJT is? On-the-job training. That's what they needed, and that's what they got. Every sinner is a potential candidate. Every sinner in your neighborhood is a potential candidate, is a fish waiting to get caught. One day, a student asked Spurgeon, "How do I know for sure that the one I am witnessing to is one of the elect? I'm wasting my time if I am witnessing to someone who is not the elect." You know how Spurgeon answered that? "I'm going to tell you in as kind and gentle a language as I know how. It's none of your business." That's Spurgeon. It's not up to you to determine whether that person that you're witnessing to is one of the elect. Your responsibility is to share the gospel with him. Every believer is a licensed fisherman. And every sinner is a potential candidate. The fishing season in season and out of season. That pretty well covers it all, doesn't it? That's the fishing season. That includes when I don't feel like witnessing. That includes when it seems inappropriate to witness. Witness anyway. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for this delightful passage of Scripture, for the gospel that went into this place. This woman that drank of the living water, whereby she'll never thirst again. And then the gospel that was shared with the people of her village. We have some lessons to learn. We have neighbors. We have people in our apartment building, strangers to the grace of God. We pray that you would touch our hearts to share the good news of salvation with them, that they too might pass from death unto life. Amen.